Hello, and I appreciate the opportunity to be here today and share some of the work that I'm doing as part of the Low Impact Development Initiative. And Dominic mentioned the issue of hydromodification, and I would like to mention it again because it comes into context, obviously, of low impact development itself, and that seems to be a term that is evolving, and so I wanted to make mention of the way I'm using the term. And so we talk about the changes to the hydrologic cycle and the hydromodification being changes to the natural flow of water across the landscape because of things like urbanization. And low-impact development is essentially a management tool, a stormwater management tool to try to mimic hydrologic functions, natural hydrologic functions that we want to protect or restore as we go about managing our landscape. So the focus of the work that I do as part of the Low-Impact Development Initiative is to be doing projects and programs that then enhance that type of watershed protection. And the focus of the work that we're doing on the Central Coast is to essentially improve the understanding of LID principles and techniques. There's some misconceptions out there about what constitutes LID, and so trying to get the word out there as to what it really means to do LID. Also, this region, the climate is different than other parts of the state and other parts of the country, so we're trying to bring regionally appropriate LID technical guidance to the region in terms of vegetative management and design, so that's a key focus. And also, as Dominic mentioned, I'm doing work to try to support the municipalities as they move toward the emerging hydromodification control requirements, that joint effort, and helping to get projects built. One of the so these are just highlights. There's a lot of work that we're doing, and you have that in the annual report, but again, these are the highlights. One aspect is the LID design training. I'm going to every municipality in the region with a focus on staff who are reviewing or approving new and redevelopment projects that come in from applicants in the development community, and ensuring that they have an understanding of what constitutes LID, that the steps that are involved all the way from the development or conceptual design of a project, site planning, all the way to the more structural best management practices that are put in at that project, the things that people might be familiar with, like rain gardens and bioswales. So we've been going through this process training so that they can better work with project applicants and communicate their expectations around low-impact development and have the applicant have a better understanding of what they should be doing. And this is an example of a project in the city of Santa Cruz. I worked with the staff recently. They had gone through the training, and we sat side by side and looked at a housing development project and looked to see, was the developer putting in the types of LID principles that constitute doing LID? So essentially looking at preservation of open space, appropriate setbacks, reducing impervious surfaces, putting in things like bioretention swales. So they could walk through the whole process and comment back to the applicant on where they might need to do improvements. One of the bigger misconceptions around doing LID is adding in these structural components. And oftentimes what we see is that an applicant will come in with a project design attempting to put in low-impact development features after the site has essentially been designed. And they don't do so much work looking at how do they reduce the impervious surfaces in the first place, how do they situate the sites and preserve open space. And so it's a continuity of steps that has to be started very early in the project design process, and that increased communication between the municipal staff as well as the applicant. The trainings to date have gone very well. I've received very positive feedback, and one example that I might provide was City of Salinas went through their training and commented that it was very, very valuable to them, and they wanted me to come back and do the training again for their development community. And the deal that I struck with them was that I wanted them to be able to do the training themselves. So I said, you can have all the training material. I will show up to be a support and answer questions, but you guys need to be able to take what you've learned and now present it. And they did it, and they did a great job at it. So for me, it's a good sign of seeing them starting to institutionalize that information and being able to communicate it back out. So LID design training is one aspect. Another is providing technical guidance, and that's the technical assistance memo that I handed out that is actually going through one more round of drafts. But we're finding that there needs to be some basic guidance on how to design certain types of low-impact development sites. Parking lots are one of the easier types of sites that you can design. It's fairly easy to fit in the features, such as impervious surfaces or pervious surfaces and bioswales and things like that. But what they need, both on the municipal side as well as the development community, is to understand what kinds of BMP elements can they use and have some description of that. They also need to understand how do you actually lay out a parking lot and what strategies do you need to use in terms of grading the site so the water flows to your vegetated areas. How do you even design some of the inlet structures so that you can have water that is entering and going to the facility? I keep clicking back. It provides this tool so that somebody can come in and look at that and start really understanding how they develop a site. And so this is an example of this pamphlet that you have. You'll notice it says City of Paso Robles on the top. And what I try to do is utilize a pilot municipality to develop a piece of work like this so that we can get some real ground truthing from municipal staff on its usability. And then what will happen with this document is it will go up online as an editable version so that all the municipalities in the region can basically take off the City of Paso Robles logo, add in some unique statements about their municipality and maybe their plan review process, and print that out for them for themselves.
So, I feel like jumping up and saying yes. I mean, this is incredible.
Yeah, I hope so. Incredible. I think so, too. The next one that we have in the works, like the one that I handed out, is going to be around vegetation. And it's probably the most common request that I get from the municipalities is that we don't know what types of plants to put in these systems. And generally, our municipal engineers are the ones that are going to be designing these. They have no idea how to put these in. So we're developing another one of these technical assistance memos, and this is just a draft that we're starting to work on that's going to provide appropriate plants for the entire region. And we've noticed that many of the plant lists that are out there are actually include a lot of plants that are not appropriate for LID designs. They're either fairly invasive, or you can't buy them at the nurseries in this region, or they cannot tolerate the saturated conditions, sort of the list goes on. So ours is going to be a very minimalistic set of guidance, understanding that most municipal folk and engineers using this stuff need the most basic type of design. And it's akin to sort of the Sunset magazines, where I don't know if you're familiar with that, and you go into the magazine, and for people like me who kill plants, it just says plant five of these kinds of plants, and very simplistic sort of recipe oriented document. So we'll put in some examples and actually work through an example type site so that an engineer would be able to do this.
Even an engineer.
Boy, that's remarkable.
That's enough.
Time for a jury joke.
Now we can stick to that.
Another piece of work, and this supports the joint effort. Dominic was mentioning that besides the technical work that's going on to develop the hydromodification control criteria, there are all these other steps and tasks that the municipalities need to put into place so that when the hydromodification control criteria are required, an applicant can come to the counter with their project and all the ducks are going to be in a row, so to speak, meaning things like all their local codes and ordinances are going to be updated to require or allow for low-impact development and hydromodification control for new and redevelopment. So what we're in the process of doing right now is providing and putting together a training session. Actually, it's a series of three sessions that will occur in January. It's going to be web-based format, because most municipalities, due to budget constraints, cannot attend training. And a lot of the people that we would like to attend the training generally have to be at the counter, or, you know, doing the permit review. So we're pulling people in this webinar-based format. And we've brought in an expert consultant from the Pacific Northwest that has helped over 40 Phase 2 municipalities go through this process. So they know the ins and outs, they know the pitfalls, they know how to help people, municipalities, focus and prioritize the work. So we anticipate it's going to be a very successful training. We ran some pre-training workshops so the municipalities could provide input to the process, and we had about 25 of the municipalities attend the pre-training workshops. So we think this will be a really good process.
And Darla, how many municipalities do we have in the Central Coast region with Phase 2 permits?
I'm not exact. It's over 30, but I never know the exact number.
34.
34? Okay.
Then plus Salinas would make 35 stormwater.
And Salinas signed up for the joint effort as well. They're hoping to learn and take part of the science that's involved, so that's why they were part of the training that's being offered, and they'll be participating in this code update training as well. And then I wanted to end with some very exciting news. I worked with the City of Atascadero and City of Paso Robles through the Strategic Growth Council Urban Greening Grants. And on December 3rd, we were told that we got the awards. We got two large grants to actually construct low-impact developments for those two cities. It started with there was approximately $150 million worth of proposed projects that came in through the Strategic Growth Council, and they ultimately selected about $16 million worth of projects, and we got about $1.5 million of that pot of money. The first being the City of Atascadero's Charles Paddock Zoo, green, calling it their green parking lot, for a little over $5.5 million. And the picture, I don't know if you are familiar with the Charles Paddock Zoo. Charles Paddock Zoo is sort of in this area, and they have a large parking lot that they've been using for overflow parking, buses. It's near one of the smaller creeks in the area, which the name escapes me at the moment. But there's a lot of sediment that comes off of the site, and they wanted to be able to create a parking lot and do it in a green manner, be able to do a low-impact development. And the illustration at the lower right is the illustration or the concept drawing that was submitted as part of the grant application. And the design includes bioswales, pervious pavements, all sorts of different LID features. What's neat about this is the zoo itself has a conservation theme, and it talks about endangered areas of the world, ecosystems, and California is named as one of those. And so they anticipate building in an educational aspect to this to talk about, well, here's ways that we can try to mitigate against those kind of impacts. So that was a good chunk of money. City of Atascadero, their annual capital budget is about $18 million. So this is a huge amount of money for them, given their annual budget.
Where's this money coming from? Is it federal money? Or
Prop 84 dollars through the...
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then Paso Robles, City of Paso Robles, for their 21st Street project, got almost $1 million. And this project will involve essentially reconstructing four downtown streets, completely tearing the street up, reconstructing it in a green manner. Sometimes they're called complete streets now because the designs, you're trying to look at the stormwater management and the LID features, but you're also looking at mobility and pedestrian aspects and aesthetics. As we're doing this project with, again, this is the leveraging. It's the City of Paso that I was working with to look at this particular design. But part of the work that we're doing is also developing some generic standard designs for the entire region. So we will be running workshops and putting out information that shows the other municipalities in the region some guidance on how to do a green street with a fair enough amount of detail around street widths and sidewalk widths and bioswales and things like that, that they should be able to take that information and essentially run with it to do their own street design specifications. We're also using a mentoring model There was a firm called SVR that was brought in to do the conceptual design. I brought that firm in for the number of green streets that they have done nationally. They've offered a lot of expertise to this project. Paso Robles has been very, very happy with them. But we want to encourage and increase the local consultant expertise to do this sort of work. So the RFP for the actual design is going to go out, and we hope that a local firm will win that award. But SVR, the firm that we're using for this conceptual design, is going to stay involved in a mentoring capacity to ensure that the project is optimized, it's going correctly in terms of the low-impact development design aspects, and in that way, that firm will increase their knowledge of being able to do this type of work. So I want to end on this because it's a very positive note. I did get a comment back from the Strategic Growth Council review team. They let me know that the fact that my involvement in the development of the grant, as well as my commitment to be involved in these projects as they go through construction, was a significant factor in recommending that these projects go forward. And the hard work of the two cities and the staff there, I think, resulted in getting this large chunk of money, so we're very excited. So I'll end with that and any questions that you might have.
Follow up on this street project, if I can jump in. It's you know, close to $1 million, as you said. However, if I remember right, this was actually a street that the city had targeted for basically renovating anyway, but originally they had thought in terms of going forward with the traditional stormwater, you know, get it out to the river as soon as possible sort of approach. So
right.
It's in a way replacing a conventional project that the city was going to be spending a lot of money on anyway.
Correct. And they are now more open, City of Paso, of requiring that this type of street design be a requirement in the future rather than an option. Same thing with City of Atascadero. They're so excited about this parking lot design that they're going to do. I've already heard them starting to talk about, well, how are we going to require it for parking lots throughout the rest of the city? So it's changing that paradigm from this conventional type of design approach and management to stormwater to this more ecologically friendly and societally friendly approach.
And earlier, when you're talking about parking lots, you mentioned that parking lots are easy, relatively easy, but that kind of minimizes really the impact that the parking lots can have. You know, in the picture of runoff, they're pretty important.
Right. I failed to mention the. I was actually going to ask all of you a question. Streets are a high priority for the work that I try to focus on, and in my previous work as well before I came here to the Central Coast. If you were to look at a suburban or urban area, what percentage of the existing impervious surface do you think the street right-of-way constitutes? So if you look at like an aerial view and you're looking down at homes and businesses and streets and all that sort of thing, what percentage do you think the street right-of-way makes up? That's pretty exact.
62. If you looked at a parcel?
If you looked at like a several block snapshot.
Blocks.
Yeah, sure. You know, you can look at that as.
I would think it's a significant amount, maybe 50%.
You're all fairly good estimators or up to date. Most of the responses I get back from the municipalities is 20-25%. It's 70%. So streets, so that's not counting the parking lots. So you count the parking lots and they're like more in the commercial areas, you can imagine that number goes up. So those streets are carrying the majority of the runoff volume that's damaging the downstream ecosystem, and it's carrying the majority of the pollutants. So the focus on streets and parking lots is a real key factor in how we're going to be addressing how we manage the landscape. Is that what you were getting at a little bit, Roger? Yeah, thank you.
So any thoughts, Darla, on how to approach, you know, existing streets that don't need this kind of heavy renovation that we're looking at in Paso Robles, but kind of the normal ongoing maintenance that they do time to time. How do we get them to can they, do you have a plan for making some minor modifications to street roadway such that we can dramatically improve perviousness?
Yes. In fact, I'm starting to work with the city of Morro Bay that has some unimproved streets, so they don't have curb gutter sidewalk. They don't have the money to completely reconstruct their streets. They have some localized flooding problems, and they want to do the right thing environmentally. And so I've been talking with them about doing things that are called curb bulb extensions. They're little pockets, essentially, of like rain gardens or LID features that water that's running down the street comes into one of these little pockets along the street right of way, and you get some infiltration and some water quality treatment, and it doesn't require tearing up an entire street. It just picks up some of that water that's already there, adds that aesthetic value, and you get that infiltration and water quality. And City of Portland has done a very good job at sort of the, more of those minor types of improvements where you're not going to go in and rip up a new street, or you're not designing a completely new street. So Morro Bay may be the next example of looking at that type of approach.
Comments?
Darla, to what extent do the communities pay for your services? I assume some services are free, and there must be a criteria for when they pay. Can you help me understand that?
Right now, there is no payment for my services. It's under the LAID account that was that you established. In the future, as they start asking for maybe more sophisticated type of work or different types of projects, if the economy picks up on projects, we may be able to augment what the Low Impact Development Initiative can do based on getting some of that payment. Right now, the work, just because of the way the economy is, like, for example, the training, the municipalities can't pay for that training. And so, you know, the fact that I even drive to each municipality, because they're not allowed to drive from their cities to go to trainings, is providing a service right now that they otherwise would not be able to achieve in any other way because of their budget situations.
All your services now are to municipalities, not private developers, or?
Correct. Sometimes I will provide some consultation on a private development if I think it's something that's high enough priority, and that the communication and coordination with the county or city that's involved in the project can be replicated, lessons can be learned and applied to other projects. So I have to be very selective because there's a lot of projects out there. So I try to select the types that are learning examples and where there is a coordination that's going on with the city or a county.
Okay. Good, thank you.
City of Salinas has some large projects on drawing board. Are you involved with their annexation and the northeast part?
I gave some consultation recently on their Baranda Road project, which is on that, I guess, getting my geographic map
but
off,
what
that's on the southern.
Off of the annexation off of Baranda Road?
And then the annexation off Baranda Road, there are, to my understanding, there aren't developments that are currently enough in the queue to be able to provide my type of input. But there is another development called Bella Monte or something like that. That's a very large development that they've got on the books that I've been providing some input so that they can get away from that picture that Dominic was showing earlier. You know, their tendencies as a lot of municipalities to go for that cookie cutter with the detention pond. So we're starting to have conversations about what can you do further up in that residential neighborhood and ask the developer to do things differently that would minimize the need for that detention pond and provide, you know, better water quality and flow. And they've been very open to those conversations so far.
Well, I know there's a lot of small projects in Salinas. I do see bioswales and those
they do
type of things that are happening. And
yeah, they're one of the cities that has many examples right now, in fact.
Well, I think we finally got the message to them anyway.
There's hope, Russ.
There's hope.
If we live long enough, we'll see it come to fruition.
How do you have it? What kind of base or what do you do? Do you have anything that you do?
You can, though I would say that there are not a lot of examples out there for highly trafficked roads, even minor residential streets. What you tend to see the pervious pavement used for is along the side where you can use it in the parking area, and there's not so much structural stability because of the amount of traffic going on the road, and it infiltrates. And sometimes it'll go to an under drain and hook up with the conventional stormwater system, and sometimes it goes ahead and infiltrates, and the subgrade is just the base is just made maybe a little bit thicker. The structural stability doesn't seem to be an issue.
I always thought every time, you know, they repave a street.
Well, there's that. That may be one of the reasons, you know, in terms of maintenance or in terms of having to replace, sometimes pavers aren't the best option, or pervious concretes and things like that. But how you manage the stormwater off to the edge of the street with the bioswales and things like that is really can be the workhorse in a street, and then narrowing that roadway. So your roadway doesn't have to become totally unconventional. It's just how you manage that entire right-of-way in its entirety. Yeah.
And it doesn't take too much, does it? Alteration. If you have a traditional roadway, you can modify like 10% of the sides of the roadway or portions of it to get your infiltration that you want.
You can. It's just what's been difficult, as you can imagine. It's just such a paradigm shift for street specifications that are already established, and established for good reasons. And so, you know, we've seen, and I've been seeing more design specifications for streets. City of Los Angeles just put out all their Green Street, Low Impact Development street specifications, so that engineers who are going, and they're just going by the book of looking at those specifications, know exactly how much they can narrow the street, how high the curbs can be, even the design for the curb cuts, every little aspect of it. So it's not the huge changes in terms, technically, it's mm-hmm. the huge changes in terms of the acceptance and the know-how for the design.
Well, great stuff. Good. It really is. That's all I can say. It's, I'd love to watch things like this develop, and you guys are doing a great job. You know, both our staff and then, you know, your efforts in the initiative. I look forward to seeing what fruit is born by all this.
Likewise. Thank you.
Dr. Hunter.
I'll echo all of that. And it's very impressive in the time frame that you've pulled all of these components together. And I also want to acknowledge our hopes that, you know, the Institute or the initiative would support the stormwater program in the way that the joint effort has developed. And, you know, it's as good as we had hoped. So it's awesome. And thank you, Dominic, also for your work in that. I'm curious, and just really briefly, what's the UC Davis connection now for us, and what benefits come to the initiative and ultimately to our programs through that partnership?
So, yes, my direct employer is now UC Davis Extension, the Land Use and Natural Resources Department. The staff for the professor I work with primarily is Jeff Lux. And Jeff Lux has a very strong background in more the planning aspects, planning and zoning, design of sustainable communities from that perspective, which is an area I'm not as strong in. So there's also other resources within UC Davis. There is a group in the engineering department that looks at complete street designs. So we have the opportunity to tap into the resources that are within UC Davis, as well as cherry-picking consultants throughout the United States that we think will offer the very best value for this region. So there's a wealth of folk there.
Yeah, and I would just add that Lutz has also been strongly involved with training at Caltrans. So there's, again, another way for these things to cross-fertilize. So it's great. I'm glad to hear that about UC Davis.
Yeah, the board comments or questions?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you both very much.
especially love the 100% turnout you got from the municipalities and the collaboration that's going on. I think it's incredible, and I'm sure they're all going to be apprised of what goes on with these two grants, right? All the other municipalities will know what's going on with that. So thank you. Okay.